Hello, Rapids fans. Welcome to episode 16 of The Inline.
Were we recording?
Welcome to episode 16 of The Inline. I'm your host, Jeff Kasmer. We're recording the afternoon of Tuesday, June 11th, and today I'm joined by...
I'm Joseph Samuelson. I am the site manager for Rapids Republic.
And I'm Connor Cape. I'm the voice of the Colorado Rapids on the Altitude Radio Network, and I like to party.
Somehow, it seems like
Did you watch that movie between last week and this week? Hot Rod?
No.
All right, well.
Whatever. Still have never heard of it outside of this podcast and have not watched it.
It's Andy Samberg. It's Isla Fisher.
You've said
every single
much.
Time somebody recommends Hot Rod to me, the very first thing they say every time without fail is, it's Andy Samberg.
Well, he's not even like he's the main character, but he's not even what makes the movie great. It's just a funny movie.
All right, I'll consider it. I'll put it on the possible vacation agenda. It seems like this Minnesota match was quite a while ago somehow in my head, even though it was just Saturday. Each team only generated a handful of chances, but it didn't really feel like luck that the Rapids won. Why? You know, it felt like they were going to win.
Rapids were the better team, that's why.
Were they, though?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'd say they created more chances than Minnesota, but I don't think that's saying a lot. Like, I think that both teams were very limited in, like, the real clear-cut opportunities they had in the game. But I would agree with the assessment that it felt like throughout the match that the Rapids were going, like, you know, should take the win from it. Like, it felt like it was their game to lose, which is something we, you know, we hadn't said in a while, right? Like, last few weeks, the games have been, you know, have required late second half comebacks to, you know, get all 3 points or, you know, get that draw in Philadelphia. But this was different. And the reason it was different because it was the first time since the Sporting game, 3 games into the season, that the Rapids held a lead longer than 30 minutes.
I'll give you 4 names from each team, and you tell me if you think which set of 4 played better.
Okay.
Tim Howard, Tommy Smith, Lalas Abubakar, Kai Kamara, Vito Minone, Ike Opara, Brent Coleman, and Angelo Rodriguez.
Yeah, out of those
4. No. Don't just say yeah. Say who played better.
It was the Rapids 4.
Right. That's why the Rapids won.
Late last season, when things were not going that great, Porg was really talking a lot about possession and possession timing and possession percentage and watching that tick up as progress. Like, even if we weren't winning games, having a higher percentage of possession was showing that we're getting closer to what we're doing. I don't know the final numbers on this game, but it was somewhere
37%.
Around 37, 40% possession, sure. Like throughout the game.
Sure.
But it didn't feel like they needed it.
Right. It's what FC you do with Cincinnati, the ball. FC Cincinnati and Minnesota suffered from possession without purpose. And for whatever reason, maybe for Minnesota, it's just because they don't have a target 9. Angelo Rodriguez has been a disappointment for them. And maybe if he's a little bit better as a DP striker, they come away with something from that match. But other than that, like, what did they do? And FC Cincinnati, they dominated possession. What did they do?
Yeah. There was one ball from Minnesota that kind of trickled across the goal line from like the far side to our near side. And that was the only moment that I recall during the match being like, ooh.
I mean, I was like that a couple times with some of the crosses they were whipping in towards the end of the game, like especially like the last 20 minutes, but they never seemed to find anybody.
Yeah.
Like, it always seemed like it would be dangerous, you know, ball flying straight through the box. But, I mean, no one was ever on the end of them. So, I mean, I don't think Minnesota did enough with... I mean, I think they could have done more with what they had, especially, like, if, you know, Angelo Rodriguez is acting more as a target striker. But, you know.
Big credit to Sammy Vines.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ethan
last
Finley,
few games,
yep. Ethan
he's been
Finley
fantastic.
Had a bad game, and it's all because of Sammy Vines.
I think early in the season, we saw Sam make mistakes and... couldn't recover
from it. We saw him
make
mistakes when he subbed into the game for Declan Wynn last weekend. Like, he's still only 20 years old. The mistakes
sure.
are part of it.
But what I felt like I saw this weekend was when he made a mistake or when somebody got a step on him, he didn't let it get away. You know, he played the recovery kind of emergency defense in like a respectable way, still got pressure on it. And it wasn't like the guy got past me, now he's 6 feet past me. It's like he's getting past me. I'm still arm's reach. I'm still hassling him, threatening him, etc.
Right. Well,
it seems like he's also getting really good at physically bodying other attackers, like getting between them and the ball. I know several times, I think it was Ethan Finley who was on, you know, almost to the point of having a breakaway, but Vines was able to just sort of position himself right in between Finley and the ball and just completely break up the play. I think he's been fantastic in the last two games, despite a couple of mistakes in the Cincinnati one.
Late in the game, we also saw a lot of defensive activity from our third center back, Mr. Kai Kamara. Want to include a couple of his words from post-game?
Yeah, that's always been part of my game because there was once in my first preseason, I think it was, playing for the Crew under Ziggy, and Eddie Pope scored a header on me when I was marking him. And he told me, if anybody ever scores on you again, you owe me $50. So I think since then, I kind of just owned to it, and I really enjoy going back there. But today was different, though, because I said, it's funny, I've said to the guys in there that all the goals I've scored since the beginning of the year, we haven't gotten any points from it. So I was a little nervous, actually, after I scored. I said, I hope it's not one of those days. So Connor was telling me, go up, get up, get up. So when Tim is kicking the ball, so I'm up there. And I said, no, it's not happening. I'm going to go defend because I have to make sure that we come away with all 3 points right now. Look at the goals we gave up in the early games of the year, and we can win one goal right now with a shutout. You know, before they used to say, you know, defensively weren't doing good, you know, well enough. We're scoring goals, but we're letting in goals. But you know, everybody's tightening down on everything, and then you know, Andre has just been huge. I mean, he's ready for whenever his number's called. Diego, you know, got a little bit of a knock, and so it's just right there. Everybody's really ready for it. Whoever is called, and I can't even say Nico. Whenever he comes on, you know, he's a different breed. So, yeah.
Towards the end of the game, the fans were, like, trying to will you to shoot on the top of the box there a couple times.
I should have.
What's the thought process?
No, I should have. They say set yourself up to shoot and then you can pass, which is what I did. I wanted to shoot, but, you know, the unselfishness, I heard Johan on the right side, and I heard somebody else on the second shot just, you know, screaming your name, and then you feel like it's a good pass, but then at the end of the day, it was, you know, a horrible pass because my legs were heavy for it because I was, you know, in my mind, I wanted to shoot it, but I don't know, whatever. We got the 3 points.
Tonight was Pride Night, Soccer for All month. How do you see, like, inclusion changing in MLS during your years?
It's good. It's good. It's really amazing. Yeah, during my years, so many years.
A lot of
13 years. But it's amazing, you know, to see where just the world is going with everything, you know, embracing everyone, embracing peace in the world and stuff like that. And yeah, Soccer for All is, you know, it's a campaign that it's not the first time the league is doing it. And it's amazing. You know, people, you know, are supporting it from all over. And again, it's not just about Pride Night, you know, no discrimination and none of that, you know, because we're all equal. And in the game of soccer, what you look at is people are coming from different backgrounds all over the world. And so if the doors cannot be shut to anyone, it has to be open to everyone.
You, early in the game, looked like you were talking to Ike a bit out there.
Huh.
Is it more fun or more difficult to play against people you know well?
It's the best thing ever. I mean, even when you're a kid, you know, you play against your friends, you always want to beat them and stuff like that. And I've known Ike for so long. I didn't even know he was marking me on the header. He came up to me and said, that's your first one, you know, your whole career. And I was like, really? That was you marking me? I didn't even know. But Ike's somebody I've known for so long, and I love battling with him. You know, it's kind of horrible, actually, that I can still win headers over him right now. So, you know, I'm going to have to give him some stick for that.
Yeah, he got you on one foot race, I think. I saw you giving him a look.
No, I beat him on the foot race. I remember the play, actually. He came over and won. He slid, and I passed the ball around him, and I tried to cross the ball. Obviously, it was bad. I still got wheels.
You brought up that it's been a couple years. How many years do you think you got left?
Me?
Yeah.
34. Well, I did well today playing center back.
Yeah.
So after you play, yeah, you have to move
back. Career, right?
Since I haven't done that yet,
yeah.
I haven't moved to center mid and center back. So that means I at least have, you know, 5-6 more years to go.
Yeah.
All right. So we heard a bit from Kai Kamara. This game was notably missing Jonathan Lewis, and the offense was less connected. Coincidence or causation?
There's no one. I don't think there's anyone who's going to deny that Jonathan Lewis has had a stellar impact on the Rapids attack. But I also think that the Rapids have the pieces available to have that strong attack that they've wanted. And like Porg talked about at the beginning of the season, even without Jonathan Lewis, like Shinyashiki has been incredible from that left wing position, whipping in crosses to Kai or, you know, whoever ends up in the box. I think Sam Nicholson, when he's actually playing in a winger role, has been excellent. So it's not that, I don't know if it's, I think it's more of a coincidence than an actual like data point.
Connor?
I think it's going to be more of a coincidence because he played in Philly too. And, you know, that wasn't the most gorgeous 90 minutes of soccer we've ever seen. Like, he subs on and he has the equalizing goal, of course, but I don't know. It kind of seems like this team's identity right now is we're going to play behind the ball. We're going to beat you on the counter. We're going to be sturdy defensively. You're not going to be able to break us down. And we're going to use our speed on the wings to beat you. Like, and when you play that way, I don't know that there's necessarily going to be a lot of, what's the word that you used here? Connected. I don't know if things are going to seem connected if that's the style of soccer that you're playing. Because all of your possession and attacks are disjointed by nature. Like, you're trying to create havoc. You're trying to create chaos. You know, when Sam Nicholson's on the ball and he's charging through the midfield, he's trying to disrupt things. He's trying to throw things out of whack. And that's what he's been successful at doing. It's not exactly this Man City buildup where we're going to pass the ball 28 times and score this beautiful team goal. It's going to be, we're going to rip you in two or three passes and we're going to put the ball in the back of the net when the chances are there.
One of our weekly segments, the Lawless Abubakar Love Fest. I want to give you a couple of Lawless's post-game quotes.
Since joining the team, you've become a fan favorite and obviously an important part of the defense. So how are you feeling about your transition coming here from the crew and how that's going?
I think it's the first day I got here, you know, the way the club welcomed me, you know, they made me feel like I belong to this place already. So I told myself, you know, I gotta give everything for the club, you know, because they saw, I don't know what they saw in me, and they brought me in. So I'm gonna give everything to them. And the guys also, you know, they welcome me so much, and I'm happy to be here.
It seemed like every player on Minnesota is frustrated with you tonight. Everybody was pushing you around, clipping you here and there. You were clearly in their head.
That's my game, you know. I'm a physical guy, you know. So I'm trying to control it more. So, you know, you can see when I came in the league, you know, as a rookie, it was crazy. But now, you know, I'm controlling it. I'm trying to, you know, the more you grow in the game, the more you control it. So,
Lawless, there seems like there are growing influence and presence of African players in MLS. Like, when you talk to people you know, and I'm sure they ask you, like, how is it? How is it playing in the U.S.? Like, how is it playing in MLS? What do you tell them?
I always tell them MLS is growing so much. You know, we've got a lot of talent now. You know, because usually, you know, even when I was growing up, all my goal was to go to Europe and play. And, you know, now I think it's changing. A lot of African players wants to come to the MLS because MLS is growing so much. You know, we've got a good, you know, great players in the league. And I think, you know, in the future, it's even going to attract more African players in the league.
We've gotten to talk to Lawless post-game a couple times, and the guy's quickly becoming my favorite Rapids player. Are we overhyping it, or is it genuinely that he might be the most effective player on the field?
Well, he's not Kai Kamara. Kai Kamara is the most effective player on the field every time out.
I don't know about that. I'd see the Rapids problem.
Who scores the goals?
A lot of people have scored the goals for the Rapids.
Who is the leading goal scorer?
Kai is the leading goal scorer.
Eight goals. Who holds up the offense? Who gets things going? Who then is defending at the end of games, like against Minnesota? It's Kai Kamara. He's doing it all. Kai Kamara is the most important and integral part of this team. Lawless Abubakar is the most important part of the back line.
Okay. But I would argue that in, you know, before the Minnesota game, three of the four games before that were wins, Kai didn't score in. The Rapids can still score without Kai Kamara.
Yeah, he didn't score. He didn't score against LA, but
right.
He has the shot that leads to the carom that Shinyashiki then cleans up. And he's doing so many things off the ball, making runs, creating movement, disrupting things. Kai Kamara drags defenders away, opening up opportunities for others. Kai Kamara is the most important player for this team.
So my counter-argument would be, is if you look at the beginning of the season, the Rapids are scoring goals. Scoring goals isn't the problem. The Rapids were giving up goals majorly, and at a rate never before seen in MLS if they had, you know, kept that rate going throughout the entire season. I think at the highest point we were projected to concede over 100 goals. And when you bring Lawless in, you know, a defender with a lot of physicality, excellent at clearing the ball, disrupting attacks. For me, I see that addition as crucial to the last five games in ways that Kai Kamara was not.
I think it's just recency bias, because if we start the year off with Lawless and Tommy Smith there playing at a high level and not conceding goals, and we're drawing every game 0-0 or winning or losing 0-1, 1-0, whatever it is, and we're just dying for a goal scorer, and then Kai Kamara arrives when Lawless arrived and bangs in X number of goals, at that point, everyone is saying, oh, Kai Kamara is the most important part to this team. Like, you look at the whole body of work, it's Kai Kamara.
Let me put it this way. Say you got one rivalry game against Real Salt Lake, and you have to pick. You only get either Kai or Lawless. Name your champion.
Kai. Okay, so I think the champion, Lawless is the champion, should be pretty obvious, because there are other like options in the attack, and there aren't any really... As we saw at the beginning of the season, there aren't a lot of realistic options in defense. With Court out still, who knows like when he's going to be back.
Have you seen anything of Courtney Ford? Silence. That's the same thing I've seen of
Courtney
Ford.
Nice little smile. Regardless, is like as long as Court's still out. Like if Court's still out, I think it's absolutely Lawless. Like you take to that game. If Court's in, I think Connor has a little bit better of an argument. But with just like how problematic the defense was at the beginning of the season, the long losing streak, the long winless streak.
Yeah.
I think you got to take Lawless.
On that Courtney Ford topic that we know basically nothing about, I believe it was the beginning of May when I did the interview with Porrig, and he said something about Courtney being back within the month. And clearly that month is over. We're halfway through this month, and you haven't, those of us on the outside, have yet to see anything. I feel worried.
We should have just asked him at the State of the Club meeting.
Yeah,
a couple months ago. Yeah, we should have just. How's your recovery going?
Can you give me a date you're going to appear in the 11? It's got to be a while, right? Like he's not. You would know if he was close. He'd be making appearances in the 18 here and there, or whatever. I mean, maybe you could see him tomorrow night. We'll talk about the Open Cup match in a few minutes, but. Like that would be a great sign if you saw him pop up.
If he was on the bench for tomorrow's match, that would be fantastic. I don't know if it'll happen, but
coming back to play style, right? This style, they talked about it a little bit last week on Extra Time. Whether this style of, it's not bunker and counter exactly, but it's a little more defensive and get out on the break. Is it durable, and is it what people want? Personally, when I watch it, I have fun. And it was like the win was fun, but the style of play, I enjoy it. It was you get it.
I mean, style of play, like the Rapids have a very clear and defined style of play that Porrig and everybody in the organization wants to have going forward. Attacking and attractive style of football. And maybe this isn't that, but they're picking up points, which... A month and a half ago, we'd all be sitting here saying, yeah, we'll win four out of the next five and draw in the middle against Philly. We'll take that.
Yeah.
I have no complaints. That's kind of where I'm at with it, is whatever picks up points.
100% agree. Like we're after the horrific start, you know, we needed a load of help, especially on the, you know, in the standings and making up points where, you know, we dropped them from earlier in the season. And you know what? Attacking soccer, attacking football, whatever. Like if the Rapids are getting wins and they're still looking good while doing it, that's what I like to see. Like I don't want to see like 11 guys behind the ball for the entire game.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was Saturday's game. I don't think it's been any of the games under Casey. Actually, I would argue that Hudson has had more games this season where he's sat 11 men behind the ball than Connor Casey. And you know what? I'm all right with the way Connor's got the guys playing because it's picking up points.
Also, what are you going to ask of Connor Casey to do in a month, in midseason, no preseason, no ramp up? Like, you can't really install what you want to install three trainings at a time midweek.
Here's my important question for you. With McGahee back in the mix, how many Connors is too many Connors?
See, I talked to Coach Connor Casey about this as well, and he said it would come down to spelling.
Yeah.
And because McGahee and Casey are both wrong.
They're one N?
With one N.
Okay.
And I'm correct with two N's.
Yeah.
Either one of them has to go. So okay. Connor Casey said I'd be the first odd man out since I have the wrong spelling.
is McGahee?
It was pretty funny though. We were standing there post game, and it was me, McGahee, and then Connor Casey was like around the corner. It's like if someone came in here and yelled, "I need a Connor," we would have been set.
No one has ever said, "I need anyone named Connor." If we only had a Connor around here. So tomorrow, well, this week we're working on a little bit accelerated schedule. Hopefully, you're listening to this on Wednesday ahead of the match with New Mexico United. It's finally U.S. Open Cup time. I feel like we've been waiting for a long while.
The oldest continuously run tournament in the United States.
Talked to some friends who are from New Mexico to see if they'd be interested in joining for the game tomorrow. They were very surprised to learn that New Mexico has a professional anything, such as a soccer team.
Where do they live in New Mexico?
Year. They live here, but they like grew up in New Mexico.
Well, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
They're out of the news cycle.
Season ticket holders got tickets comped. You can buy them for $10 from the usual places. I wouldn't be surprised to see some even deeper discounts on flash seats. Everything's general admission. If you haven't been to a U.S. Open Cup match before, they tend to be very small crowds, but people kind of enjoying it. And I think because of the GA, people tend to condense a lot more. So it's a couple thousand people, but they're kind of right up on the field. Do y'all enjoy these Open Cup matches, or are they a distraction?
Oh, heck yeah.
Open Cup is the best.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, yeah, no, honestly, like I love the Open Cup because it's like American soccer, like has a history problem to an extent, is that there's like not a lot of like rich tradition. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people, I feel like a lot of American soccer fans, I feel, tend to, you know, jump towards European leagues. In part because of that, right? Because like they've been going on for, you know, 100+ years. The teams are steeped in rich tradition.
It's just snobbery.
Yes, it is snobbery to an extent. But I like the Open Cup because it's our, right? It's the, you know, American soccer competition. It's the oldest, has a ton of tradition. There's a lot of really cool stuff. When national teams play, they didn't allow their teams to play in the Open Cup, which kept it like, you know, to be this pretty much semi-pro competition throughout the era. And I really like that MLS requires their team, you know, the American-based teams.
Vancouver, get in there.
There's also a bit of like the Open Cup to me always feels a bit like a house party in some way. It's like anything could happen. There's like,
right. It feels like a house party at 3 a.m. where all of the casuals have gone. And
yes.
It's just the hardcore folks.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like you never know what's going to happen from lineups. In-game, there's wild stuff, right? You see people fighting. You see, like, great goals.
You've seen people fighting at the Open Cup?
Wasn't
like
there...
Like, fans or players?
Wait, how? Well, players.
Excuse me.
I should remember the Portland-Seattle game from
Clint
a couple
Dempsey.
Years ago.
Clint Dempsey getting spicy.
And Clint Dempsey, although he's retired, he is still suspended for the U.S. Open Cup.
As he ought
and
to
he
be.
Will be until 2023.
He's a criminal.
How is he suspended until 2023?
Did you not
see
that?
I saw it.
It was unprecedented.
I don't know. He got
Nobody's
a 10-year suspension or what?
From a ref and just ripped it up.
Well, basically,
it was amazing.
Yeah, basically he got a suspension that was one of two things, whichever was longer.
Okay.
And it was like 10 matches or X years. And I think because of one of Seattle's run, they might have already hit the match cap.
Yeah.
So I think they default to the year suspension. I don't remember the details of it, so I could be wrong, but that's the gist of it.
Speaking of not remembering the details, last year, I know I watched the one and only Rapids U.S. Open Cup match. Was it Nashville?
Yes, it was Nashville.
Okay. It was
we
in Vandy
at Vanderbilt
Stadium.
I was like watching it on a stream that was breaking up.
Why weren't you listening to it on the radio?
I was just, I don't, think I had radio
soccer
available at that time, so I was watching a choppy stream, and I was kind of thankful that I just gave up It is neat, I think, coming back to your point of like recognition or celebration of the tournament for it to be on ESPN Plus. But that game was an embarrassment amongst a rough season of embarrassments, right?
Like, yeah, when you do an own goal against a USL team, that's not great.
Yeah, and a USL team that had at that point been in existence for like weeks, right? A small number
months,
of weeks.
But yeah.
Months. Yeah. 12
just like,
of them.
Just like New Mexico.
Them. Yeah. So it sets you up for a bit of deja vu, if you will. At least this one is at home, where last year was at Nashville. How do you expect the team to approach the game?
To try to win.
To try to win for real? Or is it going to be like, you know, the infamous?
Do you think players just go Jeffrey, out and they just like give up?
Jeffrey, whoever plays is not going to be like, I want to win, but not for real.
Generally speaking, the players who are going to get the start Wednesday are going to be players who haven't gotten as much game time as like the usual suspects.
Not to mention, Jeffrey, and if it's these guys who do win and then go play again the next week, there's that whole thing. It's called incentive to win. At a very base level. If you get, and that's totally off track because obviously the Rapids are going to try to win the U.S. Open Cup.
If you're on the field, you try and win. But most MLS teams approach the early rounds with like a B or even C team.
That doesn't mean they're not trying to win, though. It's just, it's a certain level of pragmatism. Like Kai Kamara is not going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's in Greece.
He's in Greece?
Yeah, check his Instagram.
I think one of those happened before the other. Like, I don't think Connor Casey saw his Instagram and was like, I guess I can't pick Kai Kamara.
I can't make the sure team.
But that's like Kai Kamara is 34 years old. Like he needs rest at some point. He needs days off. What would you rather do? Would you rather burn him out on double game weeks like this in June and July? Or do you trust that you have depth in Rubio and Shinyashiki and Nicholson to go out there and still be competitive? Like, I think the whole thing about like B team, C team lineup is acting like the guys who are going to be playing in place of them are bad. And that's not going to be the case.
Yeah,
like, we actually have depth.
There are reasonable people amongst the fan base who say, hey, this season is not going to end draped in glory. Why don't we, if the season's flushed, let's flush it.
The season's not flushed. We're 5 points out of the playoffs. What?
With a team behind us with 3 games in hand?
That's irrelevant. Portland's not one of the teams that we're worried about. Portland's going to end up finishing
True.
1 through 4. They're not our issue. But like the season's not flushed. We're 5 points out. If the season is flushed in June, when you're 5 points out of a playoff spot, then I don't even know what to say. Like at that point,
I agree. I mean, I don't think at this stage, at this first round for MLS teams, which is the fourth or fifth round,
we're in a better spot than the Rockies. People haven't given up on the Rockies. The seasons are long.
Yep.
Is my point. And it's only June. And yeah, we have this run where it's a lot of home games. With
yep.
only a couple road games interspersed, and we're going to have to make that up in July and August where we have a run of road games. But the whole point is that you're in contention.
At what point is it the first of the first team? You know, like how many games do you have to go
in the Open Cup
in from here? So there's 5 games, right, between here and the championship. Is it win one, win two, win three? At what point do you say, guy, we might have a shot at this?
Well, FA Cup and the League Cup over in England and the Premier League, they battle with this all the time because usually you have your backup goalkeeper, your third string goalkeeper play. When do you put the first team goalkeeper in and take that away from the goalkeeper that got you there?
Yeah.
Like that's a discussion they have every year.
IMO, I think Irwin should start every US Open Cup match, however far they go. I think you can make changes to the outfield you know, players, but I think generally speaking, it's a really good idea to stick with your backup, just if anything, to get him minutes, because you typically don't rotate goalkeepers too often for league games. So, you know, and Irwin's good enough, I think, to handle the vast majority of, you know, as you said, like teams aren't going to be playing like, you know, their first strings. Like even if we, you know, beat Minnesota or beat New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And face an MLS team next round, MLS team isn't necessarily going to play their starters or like, you know, their first team or however you want to, whatever
you want to
call it.
Probably be Kansas City in a following round. Is that right? Like based on the regionizing?
We'll play Minnesota or Kansas City,
okay.
The winner.
You probably have seen things about the lineup, so you're maybe not going to say anything. Joseph, what do you think about lineup? Like who are some people you're expecting to see and people you're hoping to see?
Seb Anderson.
Yeah, I would expect to see, like, from the top down. I'm looking at the lineup last week. There's a lot of like options for like bringing in players who didn't get any game time, or even players who just got subbed in. So I think Mosquito's going to start.
Okay.
I think Rubio's going to start. I think Anderson's going to start, and I think Blomberg's going to start.
Yeah.
I would have said Boateng, but we just learned, I believe last week, that he is back in Norway. And I think Irwin's going to start in goal. And then probably Danny Wilson. And aside from that, I don't know if I want to make any, like, I don't know if I can make any, I think those are almost surefire starters.
Yeah. Like a Danny Wilson, Kofi Opari, center back. Tando.
I don't know about Kofi. I haven't seen him anywhere Lawless is good enough that if he's fit and he's ready to go 90 minutes, I would actually have considered starting him. Just because I think he's good with almost any other center back we have. Axel isn't injured, is he? Because if not, I'd expect him.
Yeah, he seems like he's been moving well. I don't know what to expect except expecting the unexpected. You know, I agree with you that I think Blomberg is likely to start. Otherwise, I don't know why else you put him in the last game for those 15 minutes or whatever. And I think Shinyashiki probably gets the start, maybe up top.
That would be interesting because it is two in a week.
Yeah. And Rubio had a knock. And so I think Rubio, you rest. Shinyashiki, you start. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised to see like kind of a wild card.
Rubio
up top.
Is healthy now. Rubio's fine.
I know next to nothing about New Mexico United other than I like their brand, like their design.
Meow Wolf is a great sponsor.
Yeah, their badge and their kits are really cool. Like if this game was down in New Mexico, I would half consider making the trip just to like pull in some merch as well.
They're getting something like 17,000 people a game, right?
13. Yeah.
13.
They're filling up that baseball stadium.
Yeah. And all right, tell us what we should know about New Mexico.
All right, New Mexico.
They are Sam Hamilton.
They are currently top of the Western Conference. They have former Rapids Academy player and signee, Sam Hamilton. They have two goal scorers that have 9+ goals, but their last 7 games, they have yet to have a clean sheet. They have 2 games in hand over the Phoenix, who's right behind them, so... they're basically jostling for that first position. So it's not that they're bad. It's just that they concede a lot of goals. And the goal differential between like some of the teams below them in the table and them is just ridiculous. Like I think Phoenix is like +14 and they're like +7 or something like that. Despite that, they're picking up points. They're picking up wins. The two players I mentioned earlier with the 9+ goal totals, Kevon Frater and Santi Moore. Those would be the two I would watch out for.
After Wednesday, the future is a little bit cloudy. If the Rapids are victorious over New Mexico United, then the next round will proceed.
It's the fifth round. The next round would be the fifth round. This is the fourth round.
The next round might be Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week. If they are not successful against New Mexico, then the next match would be June 22nd, visiting Vancouver. If you were going to announce a new manager, wouldn't this be the time to do it?
That is what...
Based on what, Jeffrey?
Because you got a little space. You got a little bit of ramp-up time.
The space doesn't matter. That's irrelevant.
If you...
What does the ramp-up time matter if Kai Kamara is not here? Like, if you have players who are gone, what's the point of the ramp-up time?
I think when you get a new manager, I would guess that you do a lot of, like, hand-to-hand work, right? A lot of, like, sit-down coffees, meeting with so-and-so, meeting with
individual players. They do that all the time anyway.
Yeah, but so the new manager could get to do that to start building the relationship
They do it every week, all the time.
Well, then they could do it twice this week and next week.
If anything, it'll just have more days off where there's no training.
Right.
And... the players don't want to come in if there's no training.
So your assertion is irrelevant, doesn't matter.
My assertion is Open Cup and the calendar for the next 2 weeks does not have an effect on announcing the manager.
Joseph?
I don't want to sit here and say it has an effect, but I think it would be better to announce a manager during a period where there is less going on than during a time period when there is a lot more going on.
You could make an argument that if you approach the Open Cup with your B squad, like it's not that bad to have your be management in place, like your temporary management. Just like you want to.
Are you arguing that Connor should like lead the team like through the next two Open Cup games, regardless of whether or not a manager is announced during that time span?
Yeah, yes. Do the revs thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, the gradual transition, right? Because like, what's the rush?
Arena didn't even start coaching the team, didn't even start training the team until a month after he'd been announced.
Yeah, I think I'd buy that.
The Rapids are overall healthy and
It's pretty great.
Playing with some great momentum.
Momentum's not real.
How can that
I'll
be?
I'll die on that hill. Momentum's not real.
You don't think anything is real.
No, if momentum was real, then the team that scored first would only score the rest of the game.
But isn't momentum another word for confidence?
Then say confidence.
Okay, the team is playing with high confidence.
Momentum
bad?
Seems to imply that the past results are indicative of future results. Sure. And that's not true.
A body in motion stays in motion.
Right, and with sports, that's just not true.
Okay, but if you could snap your fingers, wouldn't the Rapids prefer not to be on break right now? Isn't this break probably
for sure.
bad?
Keegan talked about that when they talked about all the games with the Philly game and the double game week there and 3 games in 7 days. And he said, no, it's kind of good because you don't have time to think about anything. You don't have time to worry about anything. You just go out there and play and focus on the next game and you go do it 2 days later. And it's great because when you're in a groove, you're in a groove.
Speaking of Rosenberry, I keep kind of waiting for him to catch a little more spotlight. I wasn't aware of just how many MLS starts he has. I think at this point it's like 105 or 110, something in that area. Do you think he's going to become a marquee player for the team?
He won't be a marquee player necessarily, but he will. I think he will have that right back slot locked down for multiple years. Unless something unforeseen happens or if the Rapids just get an unreasonably good offer for him. I think Rosenberry had some troubles at the beginning of the year when he was asked to have the responsibilities of basically the entire right side. But now that Casey's typically running a formation that has wingers, some extra help along the sides, I think Rosenberry's really starting to look good. He can focus primarily on defense, playing that position well, and he's got Sam on the right side, sometimes Jonathan Lewis to link up with. I think it's a really good change, and we're now seeing from Rosenberry what I expected we would see at the beginning of the year. And I think it took him a long time to get there. You could argue that has something to do with the coaching. I don't know if that necessarily matters, but what matters right now is that he's playing really well.
Would you say he's playing with momentum?
I would say he's playing with confidence.
You got anything you want to say on Rosenberry?
I just wanted to say we have to talk about this every week. Players that were signed to long-term extensions in the offseason are part of the building block for the future. Keegan Rosenberry, one of those lads.
One of the lads.
Speaking of breaks, next week we are not going to do a panel show, but we are going to publish an interview that I did with Kalen Carr last week. He's a former MLS player who now hosts The Movement, which is a really great video series published by the league. Got into just a really, I found it to be really rewarding, interesting conversation. So we'll release that on Tuesday. I think I also have one or two other interviews kind of in the can that we can release next week. For today, that's it for episode 16 of The End Line. Thanks for listening week in and week out. Love to hear from you on Twitter at End Line Podcast or on the Rapids subreddit. For Connor, Joseph, and me,
keep Eugene in Canada. That's my mission.
Keep Eugene in Canada.
I hope he doesn't leave.
Thanks and have a great week.